Hebrews chapter 11. We are working our way through the chapter, trying to go primarily verse by verse and trying to get what the Lord would have for us here concerning faith. Of course, Hebrews chapter 11 is the great hall of faith chapter, where many folks are mentioned. And in verses 1 through 3, just by way of reminder, we've already examined the inner workings of faith, what its core value is, how it has a contented reward and provides a confident vision for us. In verse 4, we looked at Abel and his example of the offering that should be submitted unto the Lord, an offering that is a more excellent sacrifice than something that costs us nothing. And when we offer unto the Lord, our offering ought to be a cherished object. It ought to be measured, and it ought to witness to others that we too have an offering of faith unto the Lord. In Enoch, we saw the testimony of faith. And everyone who names the name of Christ and is in the faith ought to have a testimony concerning what the Lord has done. The testimony of faith in regards to Enoch was that his faith defeated death, it determined his delight, and it defined his destination. And those are three things that we should strive for in our Christian life as well. When we looked at Noah last week, we considered the protection of faith. I'm glad that once we're in Christ, we have His protection afforded to us from unseen dangers, and this world is filled with many, and there's a judgment to come, but praise be to the Lord that we're even going to be spared from that because of our faith in Jesus Christ, and we have His Word that is filled with useful directions that will help us to enjoy that protection that we find in Jesus Christ. Tonight I want us to look at Abraham, another example found here in Hebrews chapter 11. And his example is an example of obedience. So the lesson tonight is the obedience of faith. When we look at Hebrews chapter 11 at verses 8 through 10, we find these words: "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Amen. You may be seated if you're standing. And may the Lord add His blessings to the word tonight and as we consider it here for a few moments. I'd also like to ask you to take your Bible and turn back to the first book in it, the book of Genesis in chapter 12, and we'll find a little bit more detail in regards to this man, Abraham. And I think it'd be wise for us to look at it here for just a moment before we get into the message tonight. In Genesis chapter number 12, and really it is the story about what is told in Hebrews chapter 11, but just in a little bit different manner. In Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Amen. Verse 4 says, "So Abraham departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran." We see here the account of Abraham, and I do not believe that it would be in our Bible had Abraham chose to do something different. If he had decided to disregard what God had spoken to him about in leaving where he was and going to a place that he was yet to show him, then I don't think we would have heard of Abraham in the Word of God. If he had not chosen to obey the command that God had given him, then his name probably would have been absent from the Word of God. But as a result of his obedience, he is recorded in God's Word for an example unto us of the obedience that is required when one has faith in the Lord. This was Abraham's first experience with God. He had been born and raised in the land of the Ur of the Chaldees, the Bible says. If you look in Genesis chapter 11 and verse 28, that is recorded there. And that would be present day Iraq. And at the time of Abraham, it was a land of idol worship, much like it is today. It was an ungodly land. And it is not likely that Abraham had heard of or from the God of heaven before this time when the Lord chose to speak to him. You'd have to go all the way back 9 generations prior to Abraham, to Noah's son Shem, to find a godly man who was willing to follow God. Abraham comes along on the scene, however, and he concedes his will. He resigns himself to put himself underneath the Lord, to be in position to follow God. And when a person comes in contact with God in the manner that Abraham did, then God's blessing is sure to follow. And we see it recorded in God's Word that that's exactly what happened as a result of Abraham's obedience unto the Lord. I want to point out just 4 or 5 things about Abraham's obedience here tonight that hopefully will encourage us to have the same kind of faith that Abraham did. First of all, I want you to see that Abraham's obedience was a complement of his faith. It was a complement of his faith. In both readings, in Genesis chapter 12 and Hebrews chapter 11, we find nowhere recorded that Abraham questioned God. That he said, "Wait a minute, God, I have this concern. Lord, I want you to know what is on my heart." There were no questions asked. And to me, that says it was a complement of his faith unto the Lord. In Genesis chapter 12 and verse 4, the Bible says, "Once he heard God speak, Abraham departed. So Abraham went." I believe that that's the same principle that God wants you and I to follow. The principle that is recorded in the book of James chapter 2 and verse 20, where it says, "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." We ought to be obedient unto the Lord. We ought to follow him when he speaks. And it ought to be a compliment to our faith and unto the Lord that when he speaks, we hear him and we go. We follow him wherever he leads. Obedience is the name tag for faith. No obedience means no faith. We used to sing a song with the children on the bus and in the junior church hour that goes something like this, if I can remember it. We spelled out the word obedience. O-B-E-D-I-E-N-C-E. Obedience is the very best way to show that you are saved. O-B-E-D-I-E-N-C-E. Obedience is the very best way to show that you are saved. I do not believe that one can name faith unless they're willing to be obedient, unless they're willing to follow the Lord. I believe that's what the Bible teaches. You will not live in obedience without possessing faith, and neither will you live in faith and be disobedient. Jesus instructed his disciples, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." So Abraham's obedience was a complement of his faith. There were no questions asked. He was given a promise that was out of this world. He was given a promise that didn't have a whole lot of detail. It would seem too good to be true, a promise that would seem impossible for it really to come to pass. Some voice out of the sky spoke to him saying, "I will make of thee a great nation, and in thee I will bless all the families of the earth." I wonder if that happened to you and I today, how would you feel to know that you were appointed to be a blessing to all the earth? That's a lot of responsibility, isn't it? And it required Abraham being obedient unto the Lord. His obedience was a complement of his faith. Not only did he not ask any questions, but there were no conditions demanded. Abraham didn't bargain with God. He didn't require any special benefits before he agreed to follow. Let's see the hands of those that would do what Abraham did. You just pick up and leave where you're presently at without any idea of where you're headed. Yeah, that's what I thought. We want a little bit more information, don't we? We want some of the details spelled out for us. We want a Google map so that we won't lose our way, so that we know where the pit stops are along the way, where we can stop and get the needed rest every once in a while. Would you leave your home? Would you leave your family? Would you leave the land that you had become accustomed to, that you love, that you were secure in, for a place somewhere in the wild blue yonder? Abraham did. He picked it up and he moved out. The destination was to be God's choice. The place where he would eventually land was a place that God had prepared for him. He just didn't tell him where it was yet. Perhaps every day, Abraham would ask God, "Is this it? Can I rest here? Can I put my roots down here? Can I drive my tent stakes in the ground here? Are we almost there yet, God?" God would reply, "No, keep on going. Keep on trucking. Keep on moving. Keep on headed in the direction that I have directed you to go in." So Abraham would faithfully pick up his things, load them on his camels, and say, "Let's move out one more time." It was a compliment of his faith, his obedience. The second thing I want you to see was that his obedience was a commitment that he followed. It was a commitment that he followed. Abraham fully expected God to provide anything and everything that he would need on the journey. He knew that as he started out without very little detail from God, that God would supply and meet his every need. He was confident and committed in his faith toward God. How do we know that? By the fact that Abraham departed. By the fact that he chose to be obedient unto the Lord. The journey would never have started if Abraham had not been expecting God to fulfill his promise. In Genesis 15 and verse 6, the Bible says that Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Faith brought righteousness. Obedience brought faith. Abraham was committed in his faith unto the Lord. If we're ever to be in a position to see what Abraham saw, we too must be committed in our obedience unto the Lord. We need to do right no matter what the situation is. Oh, Dr. Bob Jones Sr., who's now in glory and has been for many years, taught the students there in his college that he started for the Lord, and in training young men and women for the ministry, he said, "Young people, do right if the stars fall. Do right. Do right when nobody's looking. Do right no matter what the circumstances are, what the situation is. Just do right and be obedient unto the Lord." Obedience, I believe, must come before experience. This was a new relationship for Abraham. It was a journey that he had not yet been involved in. There had not been years of experience in the matter of faith and knowing how God was going to be faithful unto him. And yet he acted in obedience before him. He was able, as a result, to see the working hand of God in his life. Do you ever wonder why you don't see God working in your life? Do you ever wonder why you don't experience his blessing in your life? Do you ever look at someone else and say, "Boy, I wish I could have what they have received from the Lord. I wish that I could be blessed in that manner." Could it be that maybe we're not willing to be obedient unto him? The principle is the same for everyone here today, just as it was for Abraham. However, we'll never see what he saw because of the lack of obedience. God says to you, "I want you to get involved in witnessing. I want you to share your faith with another individual. I want you to lead your family closer to the Lord. I want you to depart from your present lifestyle and go to a better place in your relationship with me. I want you to step out, as Rick is considering doing, into full-time Christian service. I want you to be in a position to experience my very best for you." And we say, "God, I'm not interested. God, I'm not willing. God, I'm comfortable right where I'm at." But that wasn't the case with Abraham. We see that as a result of his obedience, he was committed in his faith. Abraham took his wife Sarah and his nephew Lot to Canaan with him. You say, "Yeah, and that was a mistake. That was a problem. God told him to leave everything behind and pick up and go, but he chose to take those things with him. Well, hang on a second. Those who travel to Canaan, those who choose to follow God in obedience, I believe will take others with them. I believe that they'll lead their family to consider being obedient unto the Lord as well. Abraham left all and followed God, with the exception of his family. Sarah left all and followed her husband. Ladies, it's important that you understand that you're not a good Christian. You're not a helpmeet unto your husband unless you follow your husband's faith, unless you're willing to support him in being obedient unto the Lord. What if his faith is small? What if his faith is weak? Then follow him anyway, and it might encourage him to strengthen his faith in the Lord. Matthew Henry had a great comment about Abraham and his obedience unto the Lord. He said that Abraham believed that the blessing of the Almighty would make up for all he could lose or leave behind. That the Almighty would supply all his wants and answer and exceed all his desires. And he knew that nothing but misery would follow disobedience. Such believers, being justified by faith in Christ, he says, have peace with God. They hold on their way to Canaan. They are not discouraged by the difficulties in their way, nor drawn aside by the delights that they meet with. Those who set out for heaven must persevere to the end. There must be a commitment. What we undertake in obedience to God's command and in humble attendance on His providence will certainly succeed and end with comfort at last. Canaan was not, as other lands, a mere outward possession, but a type of heaven. And in this respect, the patriarchs so earnestly prized it. Abraham, although he could not physically see what God had spoken to him about, believed in his heart by faith, and as a result chose to be obedient, and God rewarded him. Adam Clark, in his commentary, said, "Not knowing whether Abraham went, he chose to be obedient, to show the fullest proof of his faith in God. He obeyed and went out from his own country, having no respect of any good or success, but what his faith led him to expect from God, who is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him." You look back up in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6, you find that very thing. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He had married in Chaldees. His roots were established there. Why leave that which was home to him? Why leave that which was familiar to him? Why leave what was probably comfortable to he and his family? Because God said leave, and he chose to be obedient. His first experience with God was a journey of obedience. He obeyed God in Haran. It must have been even harder to leave than was Chaldees. Some of his family was buried there. Haran was a homestead for them. But God is telling him to pick up and leave. So Abraham departed. He obeyed God with Isaac, his son, at Mount Moriah. That was the hardest of all tests, I believe, before he was to take his son to that appointed place and he was to offer him as a sacrifice before God. The command was not in the original promise given him back in Haran. God didn't reveal that to him when he first spoke to him and told him to pick up and go. If he had, Abraham would have rejected God's leading. He would have said, "No, God, I'm not interested. God, I'm not willing to trust you by faith." But as a result of his obedience, the more steps that he took, God revealed more of his plan to him. Why? Because he had a commitment in his obedience toward faith in God. Obedience becomes a matter of character. One reason why we see so much disobedience in homes today. One reason why we see such a rebellious generation before our eyes today is because of so little character. And remember, obedience is a result or a matter of character. It takes character to build obedience and to be consistent in it. It takes character to be obedient when you are far away from those whom you know. When you get out from among familiar places, then it is important to remain just as obedient. I'm reminded of the disobedience in the children of today. When you see a parent struggling with a child who will not be compliant, you wonder why it is that they won't take the rod of reproof and apply it to the backside of learning. Obedience should be taught, and obedience should be practiced. Children following in obedience will be strong in character. A child who obeys only when threatened to be punished is not being obedient, but rather totally disobedient. A child that must be punished for the same disobedience that they were doing 3 months ago hasn't learned anything. And they still need to be taught a valuable lesson in being compliant to the rules. Obedience builds character. And Abraham had character. Why? Because he was committed in his faith toward God. The third thing I want you to see is this. Abraham's obedience was a choice that he favored. It was a choice that he favored. He chose to be obedient. God did not force him to pick up and move. God simply revealed to him a plan for his life. And Abraham chose to be obedient. He was favorable to what God shared with him. It wasn't forced upon him, and God didn't have to threaten him if he didn't obey. Obedience can become a habit or a pattern in a Christian life if you choose to favor God's plan for your life. Obedience must always be, however, as a result of God's love in your life. You can be obedient because it's the right thing to do, and God loves you and is willing to share for you a better plan. Every member of this church has the same choice as Abraham had. You can be just as obedient as he was. Don't forget, the first step to all that Abraham was depended on the step of obedience. So Abraham departed. All that Abraham was promised, or all that he became, depended upon those words. So Abraham departed. Let me make application here to fit us this evening. There are some that God has been telling to get involved in an area of ministry, to participate faithfully in soul winning or witnessing, or maybe God speaking to you about teaching or some other ministry in the church. When we talk about it, you say, "I should do that." When you hear God speaking, you say, "Yes, Lord, I'm listening," but you haven't yet become compliant. Maybe it's to sing in the choir. Maybe it's to offer special music. Maybe it's to work in the nursery. Maybe it's to answer the call to preach. Maybe it's to be involved in another's ministry where you're ministering to senior citizens who are homebound, shut in, and just need some encouragement. And you say, "I could do that." But here's the question. Are you doing that? What we could do and what we are doing are two different things. We could do a lot for the Lord if we were just willing to be obedient to His commands. If we favored what He was telling us and revealing to us to do. Perhaps, maybe there are some ladies sitting here tonight who, when you heard about Sister Christine needing someone just to sit with her, someone just to be there in case she awakes and requests something, somebody just to make sure that she doesn't fall out of the bed, maybe just to give her husband and her son a little bit of a break, and you say, "Well, that doesn't require a lot of talent. I could do that. I'm not extremely busy on some days of the week, and I could take a turn doing that." Will you do that? Are you favorable to what God is leading you to do, as Abraham was? He chose to be obedient. God will not force His will on any of us. I know that as a matter of firsthand experience. When God called me to preach, I resisted for a long time. I told God that I thought He was silly for even considering me for that call. I thought that I was incapable of doing that. I thought that He could get someone much better. And so I told the Lord no for many years. But God just kept patiently working in my life. God didn't force His will on me. He just kept trying to remind me of what His way was for me. And eventually I gave in. And when I gave in, such peace came to my heart. Just as I believe it came to Abraham. Serving God is not like going to the smorgasbord or the buffet line at Ryan's or Golden Corral and picking and choosing what you want to do. When God speaks, you ought to be favorable to His calling on your life. And you ought to give in and surrender, for then you'll find peace and contentment. We can only be blessed when we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word. If you don't like a certain thing on a buffet line, you can choose to bypass it. But that's not the way it is with God. If you have disobeyed God, He's waiting on you to come back to the point where you will be obedient and you'll make things right. He'll allow you to wander in misery as long as it'll take. He'll leave you in a desert place if that's what you want, but it'll only bring more misery. You can only be blessed when you turn to the Lord. The next thing I want you to see is that when Abraham chose to be disobedient, it brought calamity to his family. It brought calamity or tragedy to his family. You remember that God promised Abraham a son. He thought he was growing too old to see that promise fulfilled. He was way up in years, so he sought fleshly means to help God fulfill the promise. He thought he'd take matters into his own hands. You know, God doesn't need our help to accomplish His will. Our advice to God is wasted words. You can't pacify God with some kind of excuse that will help Him to see it your way. If God has a calling upon your life, He will fulfill that promise if you'll just be patient and wait on Him. However, Abraham chose to go through Hagar, an Egyptian handmaid, and have a son. Even if the handmaid idea had been the right thing, it would have been incorrect to choose an Egyptian handmaid. Egypt always speaks of the world. Egypt, whenever you see it in the Word of God, is nothing good. When the children of Israel were in Egypt, they were in bondage. They were suppressed. They were kept from enjoying God's best. And they became slaves. When you're in Egypt, which is a type of the world, that's exactly what you'll be. You'll be in bondage. You'll be suppressed. You'll be kept from enjoying God's best. Egypt means that the flesh is in control. And that the things of God are not important to you. God will never allow His work to be done with the tools of Egypt. With the methods of Egypt. You can't accomplish God's work and God's will by doing it in a fleshly manner. The Bible says that it is the Spirit that works and that we can accomplish nothing in our own might. So he chose to step outside of God's rule and plan for his life. He chose to be disobedient only to discover heartache and misery. Ishmael was born to him as a result. Ishmael became the enemy of the promised son that God gave Abraham eventually, whose name was Isaac. Ishmael mocked Isaac. And Sarah even came to the point where when she saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, she began to mock Abraham. And she told him to make them leave, to get rid of them, to run them off. Abraham's disobedience brought jealousy into his family. So we can see that it affected not just Abraham, but it affected others as well. Ishmael's offspring, which is the Arabic nations, even in our world today, are Israel's enemy, even as we speak. They hate the Jew. The nation Israel has been persecuted and has suffered for thousands of years, all because Abraham chose one act of disobedience. When we choose to be disobedient, tragedy will come. Calamity will come, even to our family. Listen to me real close. A decision that you make in regards to being disobedience will haunt your family, possibly for many, many years. It will come back to remind you of your disobedience before God. If you're a dad and you make a decision like Abraham did to move in a different direction, to go to a different place other than God-appointed place, maybe because of a better job, maybe because you think you'll be able to prosper there more than you are presently. Maybe you don't check out God's plan for your life. Maybe you don't pursue whether or not there's a good godly church where your family can be grounded and where they can learn the things of God. And you'll forfeit all of that all because of financial stability. My friend, that'll come back to haunt you. You're older in years and you say, I've lived my life. I've come to the place where I'm at peace with God and there's nothing left for me to do. I'll just sit contently for the rapture or for my name to be called and I can meet God in glory. My friend, that's not God's design for our life. We're not to be sitting on the sideline. We're to be serving faithfully until He calls our name or until He returns in the rapture. Let's be obedient to Him and let's forego the calamity and the tragedy that is sure to come in our life when we're disobedient. Had it not been for Abraham's obedience, had it not been for his willingness to choose God's way, we said before that you'd never have heard of him in the Scripture. I believe the only reason that his life is recorded in the pages of God's Word is because he obeyed and he departed. He was willing to pick up and move when God said, go. Who knows what will result in the work of God, in God's plan for this world still being worked out. Who knows what is to come when we resign ourselves to his will and we say, God, I'll go. Who knows what will be forfeited when we refuse to resign ourselves to his will and say, God, I'll not go. Let's get an Abraham attitude tonight. When God speaks, let's get up and go. You say, but I don't know where. But as a result of Abraham's example, can you see that God is faithful and that he will fulfill his promise to you? That he will bring you to the appointed place? What if God said to you, in you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed? In you, someone's going to benefit. Someone's going to profit. If you'll just be willing to be obedient, would you do it? God help us to do that.